You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Football season's here. That means it's time for Wings, Beer, and Sports at B-Dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports. Told you I got to catch up with Johnny Manziel yesterday and ask him about his progress as a quarterback in the National Football League. Here is a portion of that interview.
Before we get into kind of a wider discussion, let's go through the touchdown play to Duke Johnson that culminated that 92-yard drive in the first half against the Bengals. Let's start pre-snap. What was going on?
Yeah, pre-snap, I think we got a good play dialed up. You know, looking back at it, didn't look like Gary Barnes was going to win off the line. Ended up, as Gary has done all year, ended up winning and being open, and it probably would have been a little bit easier just to toss it to him, but I guess that wasn't as fun. But Duke just doing a good job getting out of the backfield and really coming all the way across the field to keep working, to keep fighting on that play and get in the end zone, which is to cap off that drive before the half was something we really needed.
So when you go through that pre-snap, you said ultimately it was Gary won, but as you watched the play, you looked right initially. So is that something that you saw? That's where you thought you had a best chance?
Yeah, when I saw Gary off the line get a little bit jammed for a minute, kind of got off it and then worked the other side. Couldn't really get a good vantage point to throw it down there in the red zone. Got to make sure we're not turning the ball over down there. Right. And then Duke made a heck of a play.
What do you think when you get out of the pocket? What's going through your mind? You saw the pressure come from the right side. You got around it. And then what's going through your mind? Just look down the field and see who comes open?
Yeah, on that one, just tried to get out of the pocket. I actually think like there's a time where I kind of look back to make sure we didn't have a flag or there wasn't anything, any problems. But, it definitely slowed down a little bit. I saw Duke flying through there. I mean, the guy can absolutely roll as we've seen all year. But broke the pocket, was able to escape. Dunlap and Michael Johnson, those guys who are on the edge are pretty lanky, pretty wide, so to be able to get out was a good little angle right there.
All right, so that was a great drive for you, and it was going against Cincinnati team. We know that was your first start last year. Didn't go as you would have wanted it to. So what changed from year one to year two, at least how you feel like you experienced the game?
Yeah, it's just the process of everything slowing down from, like I think Coach Pettine said it sometime last week, it looked like there were 13 guys on the field at times last year. This year I was able to really try and get Alex and all those guys in sync up front, them help me help them. Making sure we're okay with all of our receivers, making sure we're all on the same page. It's just a whole familiarity with playing at this speed, with this level, with what they kind of do as a scheme. So you go back and you get a chance to look at how they played me last year, played us a little different this year, but still to learn from each and every start. I continue to think every second that I'm on the field, I feel like I'm getting better.
Do you feel like, we've heard so many people say it's night and day for Johnny. Do you feel like it's night and day for you?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. Without good. A doubt. And what's the thing that you are kind of the most proud of in terms of your progress?
Yeah, just all the protections that we're doing, picking up, like just learning more and more about the defenses. It's different than college. We're getting the ball out on the perimeter, trying to outrun people. And in this league, you can't do it. So, that's the biggest thing is really trying to learn what these defenses are going to try and do. When one person does hear what it means. And, it's a tough game. It's one of the hardest positions to play in all the country. So, learning every week is huge for me.
For people who might not understand it, walk through for a second what you would be asked to do and to think about on a typical play at Texas A&M versus what you're asked to do and think about in a typical play in the NFL.
At A&M, you look where our splits at O-line are probably, they're not as close as they are now. We're not having any tight ends on the field. We're literally using every single part of the field. If one backer's tucked in a little bit too much, you throw a signal out there and you just bubble him out and he runs around the perimeter for 50 yards. If they try and man up, you look at Mike Evans, give him a little signal, and then you throw it deep. Didn't really matter as much about the coverage. It was all about a lot of leverage for us. Then when it broke down in college, you can take off running and get away from some of those guys. In this, you have personnel. They personnel match. They have a lot more exotic coverages where you think they're blitzing and they swipe out under and they do all kinds of different things. So it's just a lot more complex guys and these coaches and the time that you have to prepare for these teams and study is, you can get a little exotic with it. So it's just way, way different.
Not to belittle what happened at Texas A&M, but to kind of put it in terms of people out there would understand, it's almost like what, a kindergarten class in terms of simplicity or early high school versus getting your doctorate in something?
It's definitely an early high school to trying to do something in your upper levels of college. Coming in last year and Kyle Shanahan's trying to teach me and Dow and all these guys are really trying to show me, and it's almost like it's a different language for your first year until you really get into it. But after calling the plays, after doing it for 2 years, then you go, oh, boom, this formation, there, this play. This play comes from this formation, same thing, vice versa, whatever the case may be.
What's the one thing that you, or maybe there are a couple, that you still feel like to get to where you want to be as an NFL quarterback that you need to continue to hone?
Yeah, just taking command. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, there's a couple times we had some miscommunication. You know, I need to say, hey, you have him, you need to be able to do this and really do it all. Maybe look like, you know, it may look a little crazy at times, like scatterbrain, but whatever. We have to get those guys on the same page every time. And you know, I think we're close to being able to do that. And for me, like I said, continuing to see these things, when this guy does this and this guy does this, what that means and where to go with the ball.
All right, let's go back to Tennessee. You come in, you start, you do a great job, and I know you're a competitor. How was that transition going back from being a starter, going back to backing up Josh McCown, and just kind of your mindset during that period before you got the opportunity again?
Yeah, it was tough, but I think, you know, the positive thing that I did take away from it was playing the teams that we did play, playing the Denvers, playing the Oakland, playing, you know, Arizona, seeing those defensive fronts, what they do defensively. I probably learned more while sitting there how we pick up certain things and do certain things than I had throughout training camp, throughout OTAs, throughout anything like that. So that stage of the season, no matter if it was tough for me or it was disappointing or whatever the case may be, helped me tremendously in my progress, even though I wasn't out there.
All right, and you talk about, so that's a learning thing for you. You've talked about in the NFL, you can't just run around and make plays all the time. You can do it, certainly, as you showed at times. What do you have to do? Is it just game reps? How can you get better from the pocket, reading, diagnosing, and making those quick decisions that you have to do in order to be successful for a long time?
Yeah, I think me and Kev and a couple of guys in the quarterback room talked about this today. It's, hey, when you have this route, this guy can take this away. This guy goes here, you throw it there. If he takes it here, you come back across the ball. So it's just knowing, I think, what guys who may not be able to stand over the line and see everything, they know where people are and they know where spots are. So that's what I'm saying and trying to continue to learn. When this guy goes here and he takes away the flat, then you try to throw it there and he takes it away. It just kind of goes down the line. So knowing where to go with the ball when you diagnose the coverage is the biggest thing.
And is that, you talked about it earlier, but in terms of making progressions, at Texas A&M, you probably, what, made one, maybe two, and then it was like, all right, I'm going to get out by time. Here, it could be one, two, three, four, and you're read, yeah. And then you have to decide what to do with guys coming at you.
And at the same time as well, I don't think at A&M we really utilized our backs as much as we probably could have. Throwing to a check down or throwing to our running backs here, as you've seen with Crow getting 60-yard runs, yep. Duke getting out, those plays have saved some of our games this season. So continuing to do that and continuing to say, hey, a check down is not a bad thing, and ingrain that in your head, you don't always have to have the home run, is still, you know, something that you have to continue to tell yourself.
Let's go back to Cincinnati. First half, very successful, culminating that drive we talked about earlier. Second half, not as much. What was the biggest difference through your eyes in that?
Yeah, through my eyes, I think we just kind of shot ourselves in the foot a couple times, you know. It's a game of inches, and I know it's a cliche, and I know so many people say it, but you look at the third down run where it ends up, we get the first down, they challenge it, it goes to fourth and inches. That play changes the game, and we just couldn't ever get to a point where we got to a 3-4-5 play drive. When I looked back, it was three plays, four. We needed those 7, 8, 9. We needed one, yep, first down to get things going, and that was really the difference. And I think, you know, once it got to 24-10, you know, I think on my end a little bit, started to press, throwing the ball down the field a little bit when, in reality, we needed to see somebody catch it and run with it and try and get ourselves in some better situations. So that's definitely a learning progress for me. Just, you're never out of it till the very end. So sure. I could have done a better job in that aspect.
All right, Johnny, thanks so much and best of luck to you.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, man.
Yes,
you,
sir,
got it.
It's Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel. We've heard Mike Penn say today Josh McCown remains day-to-day, and he's going to do a little bit. He's limited in practice today, should be limited tomorrow. Mike Penn telling me that he wants to have a firm decision made on Friday about who his quarterback will be for Sunday against the Steelers.
Yeah, and I think a lot of things go into this. Not simply, I think it's much more difficult than is he healthy or not. Because I think that from an NFL head coaching mindset is a healthy Josh McCown by Friday with no reps all week, you have a tendency to probably go with Johnny Manziel. That's my perspective. But if Josh McCown is throwing and you know, at a leisurely tempo today and tomorrow, and then, of course, Friday can be, you know, at 75 to 80%, which practices normally are anyway. They're an accelerated walkthrough pace in some cases because you're mastering what your game plan is. And Josh McCown can work today, take a step tomorrow, and then get to that 80% by Friday, you know, the remainder of Friday off, traveling on Saturday, as I talk about percentages, get him up to 85, get a shot, get him to 85, 90, 93%. He's going to start for this football team. But if he's not getting those reps, and I think it's predominantly throughout the NFL, now maybe the franchise quarterbacks cannot get a rep till Friday like a Peyton Manning and then be able to go out and execute the way a head coach would want to.
Sure.
You know, and I think at 2-7, we're behind the gun a little bit. We need to go win a football game. and who gives us the best opportunity. And I think Josh McCown with no reps does not give us the best opportunity, and you go with Johnny Manziel. Josh McCown with reps and slightly less than 100%, 90, 85, you go with Josh McCown with reps.
Josh McCown will start if he is able to go out there, Mike Pettine saying it all week. We just, you heard what I talked to Johnny about, and him, I thought it was good that he acknowledged he probably just should have thrown the ball to Gary Barnes. So when he watched it on tape, he saw what everybody else saw in that SB Nation article, which you've read, I've read, and a lot of people have asked me about. By the way, it's Mailbag Wednesday, so you can tweet the show. Use the hashtag AskCBD, A-S-K-C-B-D, and we will get to those questions in our second hour. But what that pointed out to me is exactly what I saw on tape. He missed a lot of throws from the pocket. Now, he was able to make some plays, but didn't deliver the ball on time from the pocket. That is the key to being a good quarterback in the National Football League. But as you have seen, and as we had talked about with him, you look at, say, for example, Johnny Manziel's transition from what he was asked to do at Texas A&M, and you heard how simplistic he made their offense sound.
Yeah.
It was a couple pre-snap reads, and if nothing was there, if the first read wasn't there, what I intended to do as soon as I got the ball, if that wasn't there, I ran around and made a play because I could. It's totally different in the NFL, and that's not making excuses for him. That going back to what I said at the beginning, Johnny Manziel would have the biggest transition of any of these quarterbacks coming out of college in that draft class. The only way for him, in my opinion, to continue down that path of progress is to play, to watch that tape, to read. For I'm sure he's getting the same feedback as that SB Nation article, but getting that feedback and then going out there in the game, getting some of the same calls, maybe getting some of the same looks defensively, and then executing. That's where you're going to be able to really measure his progress and what he's doing.
Yeah, and not to simply be against you to be against you, but as you looked, as I watched that film, I saw the same thing that any novice slash football fan could pick up that, hey, yeah, you make a point. The guy is open. Why didn't he deliver the football? But Cincinnati, once the game was kind of progressing into their hands, they were playing a lazy slough off version of cover two.
Yeah, with
right?
The corners dropping.
With the corners dropping, not playing up. They were okay giving up the 5-yard pass. And that would they would rally and make a play on for a five to seven yard gain, but didn't want to get behind you to give up the 18, the 25. And as we saw in that same article, Travis Benjamin break free on the one that could have went for a touchdown as the safety, the half safety's attention was pointed elsewhere. But what's difficult is, and why in some cases a head coach like Mike Pettine in his decision making might lean towards not playing Johnny is because the Pittsburgh Steelers might not play a lot of cover two. You know, so all those lessons he might have learned from the Cincinnati Bengals game, yes, you want him to, that immediate opportunity to go out and prove that I've learned is going to be a combination, you know, of Keith Butler's system, which might not play any cover two or Tampa two. It's going to be a lot of quarters, a lot of cover six, which is half, you know, half two, half four, a lot of man pressures, a lot of zone pressures, which Johnny may not have a lot of success with, at least from a game playing situation. And then you're a head coach may feel like I'm leading him into the lion's den in that case.
Well, he should have some experience with what is at least the roots were in the Pittsburgh system. I know, yeah. Dick LeBeau's not there. Tennessee with Ray Horton came from that style. So hopefully he does have some opportunity there. Keith Butler, who you mentioned, the Pittsburgh defense coordinator, Browns linebackers coach from 1999 to 2002. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Still to come, we have got the mailbag, so you can get to us with the questions, hashtag AskCBD on Twitter, at Nathan Zagura, at MattWilhelm35, and of course, at Browns_Daily. We'll go around the league at 2:30, but when we come back, we want to talk to you. Your reaction to what you heard from Johnny Manziel, clearly acknowledging that his path to being an NFL-ready quarterback is a long one. He has so much learning to do, and acknowledging his own mistakes in that game. And I like that. I took that away, and I thought it certainly would have been very, very – I thought that was a positive acknowledgement
from
him. And for people who thinks, you know, it's not fun or Johnny wants to run around like a chicken with his head cut off, he's not a big guy. He knows that. I don't think he wants to take the beating of running around. I think he'd be much happier to just drop back, get the ball out, have it be complete, go on his way without getting touched. I think that that's something that any quarterback would like.
Of course, but when it's all you know – it takes a lot of reps to break that. How many people know someone in their life where it's like, you know, a zebra never changes its stripes? It's like that bad person is a bad person to their core. For them to make that change, it takes a lot of time for them first to become that good person, but then for people to start believing that you're good, that good person. Right now, Johnny is not a pocket passer. He's the scramble drill all over again. And that's going to be his bridge, you know, or his, I'm sorry, his crutch when given the opportunity. What has he always done? He's always deviated out of the pocket and made plays with his legs and then with his arm. And that's what he's going to lean on until he trusts those around him, his protection, his eyes, his brain, his coaches to stand in the pocket, hold in there, and follow through with what they want executed.
They've got to figure out a way. You're right. And you know, even going back to his Texas A&M tape when I scouted him coming out, he would often, if the first read was there, but it was a, you know, a five-yard gain, he wouldn't take it all the time, even though that's what the play was designed to do, because he wanted to try to hit that home run. And in the NFL, you do need to hit those home runs, but you also need to hit plenty of singles and keep the ball moving down the field, generate first downs, which the Browns did not do in the second half of that game until it was well out of reach. All right, when we come back, phone calls, 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.